Welcome to the Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thank you very much. So today we're going to take a little bit of a change. Well, maybe not too much of a change. This is going to be my last episode that I record this podcast on a Mac. So I'm switching to the PC. So today's, in kind of the spirit of that, we're going to talk about today technology for your business. Now, I realize that there are a lot of people out there that have varying levels of technology savviness, and that's okay. I mean, I come from a high-tech world, so I know how to do a lot of things that a lot of people don't know how to do. And I'm going to assume in this episode that you don't. If you do know stuff about everything here, if you're pretty savvy about this, then, you know, you can still listen. But you probably want to take less active of listening because you probably already know most of this stuff. So, but there are plenty of things that I do in my business that you probably need to do as well. Or you face those same similar situations in your business that you might want to use technology to tackle it. So first thing, I'm getting rid of my Mac. So the Mac is fantastic for an eBayer or really anybody who does any kind of reselling. Easy to use, not a lot of setup. I think the big thing is if you have an iPhone, you take square pictures, and that's the big thing that is required by eBay, and by de facto standard is square. And so, you know, having an iPhone is easier. I think using a SLR camera or a digital camera that is set to photos, you have to transfer them, and I think that it's much easier to use the iPhone in the Mac environment personally. Now, if you're using a regular camera, that's fine. If you don't mind taking the chip out, the SD card out and putting it into your computer and then transferring the files that way, that's great. I'll tell you exactly how I do it. So, and this works whether you have a Mac or PC, but I'm going to get to the Mac in a second. But, so I use an iPhone. I take pictures that are square, and then I basically, I have them automatically sync to my, Google Drive. And what I do from that is then I take those and I shrink them. So I basically take them, not in size, but in, you know, how big they are as far as data goes. Because the websites, all the websites really, really want smaller pictures. Now, I don't know. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. I don't know where I heard this, but it says to shrink them down so that they're a little bit, they load faster. And then when they load faster, people, you know, will look at your eBay, ad or your eBay listing, quicker. And so they like that. I don't know if that's true or not, frankly, but I shrink them. You don't have to shrink them, but I shrink them. I use, a tool called JPEG Mini Pro, and that works on Mac and PC, and it shrinks them down quite substantially. So anyway, so I think having a iPhone is probably the preferable way to do this. I think you as little as you have to do about taking SD cards out. You know, you lose the SD card or it gets damaged because you moved it around too much. You do get better pictures probably with a regular camera. But I don't think that much better. Matter of fact, I think not much better at all. And then what I am starting to do, I haven't done this yet, but I've bought the software. It's called Fuse Pro. And let me just pull that up on a website here. I must have deleted it already. Anyway, you want to use some kind of background removal tool. There are several of them out there. I just deleted the one that I was looking at. So I'm looking for another one right now, but they're varying in cost. You want to do something that's really simple, but what you essentially want is a white background for all your photos. Okay. So just to recap, you want a iPhone, you want a JPEG tool, a shrinker, a file size shrinking, software, you want a background removal tool. Okay. Those are the three things. Now, of course, you can try doing it on your phone directly, and some people do that. And, you know, if you have done that, let me know how that goes, because, you know, unfortunately, I'm 55 years old. So for me, staring at a phone and trying to do editing on a phone, it just doesn't work for me. So I have to do it on a very, very large screen. So you need those three things. Okay. So you need a listing tool. And now we've talked about List Perfectly. You don't have to use List Perfectly. You have to have a mechanism that you can keep track of all your listings and cross listings. Now, if you don't cross list, you can go directly to eBay and do that. And if I would suggest that if you're going to just do eBay, and that's fine, just know that you have to have a lot more inventory to get the same results. But I think it does save you a lot of heartache about delisting and worrying about things that get sold on multiple platforms. If you do multiple listing, you can do it manually using Excel or something like that and just doing cutting pasting. And that's fine. If you want to do that, that's perfectly okay with doing that. It just takes a lot of effort. That's why I don't do it. But if you're going to only list on eBay, I would say go with InkFrog. I've used it for a little bit, and I decided I wanted to do cross-listing. You can do some cross-listing on InkFrog, but it's only Amazon and eBay. And if you're dealing, I mean, I'm not sure. If you sell on Amazon and eBay, that's great. Just do that. InkFrog's much better than List Perfectly in the sense that they use direct connections to the platforms as opposed to using some workaround, which is required because some of the other platforms like Poshmark and Mercari don't have direct connections that you can make with software. I don't do it that way. Maybe one day when they do it that way, then List Perfectly, which is perfect, by the way, I love it, and I use it. So I'm not trying to disparage it, it does its things in a certain way because it has to. InkFrog only deals with platforms that have direct connections, and that's there's good things and bad things about that. The bad thing is that you're relegated to Amazon, eBay. You can have a Shopify store and a Wix store. Now, we've talked about Shopify before, and I used past tense Shopify to actually connect so I can actually automatically post to Facebook and Instagram. So you don't need to do that. I just think that there's probably better ways of discovering than doing it directly through Shopify. So I went back to Wix, which is what I'm much more familiar with and how to use and how to do a lot of good things with. So, but I don't use InkFrog. I just basically connect eBay and my Wix store directly, and they just go back and forth. It's no big deal. You can do that. And if you need help with that, just give me a call or send me an email, and I'll be glad to help you. I won't charge you very much, but I do need to charge you because it does cost me to do it. So, so that's technology. So let me talk about the Mac versus PC thing. So I've said this a couple times, and I think I said it in the last episode or maybe the episode before, that I'm building a software for myself that does some of the same things List Perfectly does, but it also does something a lot deeper for me. So I'm really, really into knowing my numbers, as you probably know, and I think it's really, really important to be able to have some kind of connections, if you will, to not only the software like eBay and Mercari and Poshmark and stuff like that, but I also think you need to get those numbers and pull them into something like a QuickBooks or even a spreadsheet that kind of manages your numbers, because you're never going to know how well you're doing unless you know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know if you're doing great or you're doing very poorly. And I see a lot of resellers that are selling $8 to $10 items, and they're selling a ton, and they're saying, "Oh, I'm making so much money." And then they really start to really look at their numbers and how much effort they're putting in, and they're not making anything. I mean, really, honestly, you can't sell unless you're selling like replenishables, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with selling replenishables. I think if you can get a good margin on replenishables, it's not a bad way to go. And I've had some success. As a matter of fact, today I sold 10 toothbrushes. I got a bunch of toothbrushes for $2 a piece. You know, not the Philips Sonicare ones. You know, the little heads. I got them for like $2 a piece at Walmart, and I routinely sell them for like $17, $18 a piece, but I just sold 10 of them today. I mean, that's, you know, and that's great. That's a replenishable, but it's not that replenishable because unfortunately you know, I can't find them anymore. So, so it's less of a replenishable, more than just a large stock item. So, but if you're not dealing with replenishables and you need, you need to have some kind of connectivity to kind of understand about how much money you're making, so that you need to get those numbers into QuickBooks or into a spreadsheet, and you need to do that analysis and go back and listen to the, you know, your numbers episode if you, you know, want a refresher. So I switched to the PC because, I'm writing some software that does a lot of that. And unfortunately it uses, Windows technology. I know I love my Mac, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to end up selling it. So I bought a brand new PC and I'm a programmer. So it doesn't really matter what platform I'm using. I mean, I could use a Chromebook, and I think there's some benefits of using Chromebook, frankly, for some people.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
But the software requires a lot of macros and things like that for Excel that just the Mac Excel doesn't work that well for it. Now, I'm going to end up probably selling this software out to people. So just keeping it here out. And if it's something that you like, you know, no pressure here. I mean, I'm just bringing it up, but you're more than welcome, to it. And then next week I'm bringing in, you know, if everything goes well, we are talking about the holidays, so it's kind of difficult to get people's schedules to align, but I am bringing in a guest next week to talk about something that they've done similar to what I'm talking about, but they do it using Microsoft Excel, and they have this really kind of elaborate way of tracking inventory, and it looks really, really good. So I haven't really spent a lot of time with it yet. I know Rockstar Flipper, he has some involvement in it, and so I know him. And so, I give it some credence because I think he uses it in his business, or is going to start using it in his business because it's a fairly new software. Anyway, looks pretty comprehensive. So I brought it in. Now my software that I'm working on, of course, will actually do the postings as well. So, different type of product. Anyway, so I'm bringing them next week. A lot of that stuff is really Windows based. And so while the Mac is really cool because, you know, you can keep it for years and, there are some major changes to the Mac platform recently, really recently, like in the last 2 weeks that, they're getting rid of the Intel chip. And so, running the software, some of the software is not going to work anymore. So, they're going to upgrade it and your old Macs just won't run the software. And so, you don't really run into that with PC too much. I mean, you do, don't get me wrong, but even new PCs can run some old software a little bit more compatible in the long run. Now, it comes with its downsides. You know, there's viruses and all sort of stuff. But anyway, so for me, it works. It may not work for you. If you want to run software that is Windows only, though, you could run Parallels. Parallels is a software that you could put on your Mac, and you could run Excel in the background, things like that. Just that if you start getting larger files like I do, difficult to do that because it takes a lot of resources and the Mac runs really, really slow. That's probably pretty funny. You probably listen to this podcast and going, is this a tech podcast or is this an eBay or a reseller podcast? It is reselling. I mean, technology plays a huge role in what you do, right? So, and that doesn't matter who you are. I mean, tech's gonna be more and more pervasive in the reselling business. It's just the way it is. So let's talk about some applications that are really integral. And we talked about completely going away. So I have not found a really good replacement for completely yet. Right now I'm using Sellhound for pricing, but if you recall, Completely would give you your sell through rates, and it was similar to Terapeak. Actually completely like Terapeak. But Terapeak is not available on your phone. And, I hear some rumblings about having Terapeak functionality in the eBay app coming. So, and I don't know much about that yet. So obviously if you have heard about that, you know, reach out to me and let me know, and I'll bring it back on to this podcast. And I am trying to get some people in eBay to give me some answers regarding that, because really once Completely went away, it made it a lot more difficult to source. I mean, you can still source, but you're really now kind of going blind. If you're new, you're going blind into purchasing because Completely gave you the sell-through rate, which is extremely important. And Sellhound only gives you the pricing, which is probably equally important. But it'd be great to have both. And a nice thing about Sellhound is it gives you all a bunch of platforms. It's not just eBay. It's eBay, Poshmark, Mercari, Grailed. I think they have quite a few others on their website. I don't know about the app, but use that app. Okay. So remember that when you're going through things and when you have the experience, you understand if you pay, you know, $10 for something and you know, you can get $40 or $50 out of it. But you know, you're going to, if you don't have that experience, you're going to need to run this stuff on Sellhound, right? So you're going to need to know I can get $40, $50 for something that you're paying for $10, or maybe $30 for something you pay $10, whatever. But, and then if you have that, again, buy, sell, double money cheat sheet that you made for yourself, which I told you to do using salecalc.com. Okay. So if you do that, then of course you'll, you have almost the complete picture. So you can tell to some extent what the sell-through rate is when you go through the eBay app. I mean, you can see how many sold, and that does help you, but it's not going to really give you you don't know if it's 25% or 45%, right? And that's a big number when you're actually doing your calculation on if you should buy something. Now, the nice thing is that if you are ahead of time going through Terapeak on a regular basis and just tooling around in your space. And so if you're selling clothes, and you're always in the clothes area, you're saying, okay, what is hot is selling right now? You should do that. And if you should go back to that video that I did on YouTube, where it shows you how I use Terapeak to actually buy in the buy throughout the year, so that you don't really have any dipping sales. Okay, so use Terapeak. All right. So there's another software out there called Shelf Trend, shelftrend.com. It's actually a website. And I just ran into this. So, obviously I'm trying to build a database of all the brands. So I ran across this website called Shelf Trend, and they kind of do a Terapeak type of service. It's a little bit more user-friendly, I think, in the sense that it'll actually bring up a lot more information than Terapeak will. You have to pay for it. It's not free. It's not too expensive. I don't recall it in front of me. It's not in front of me. So I don't recall exactly how much it is, but they basically will tell you the sell-through rates of things as well. Now, the reason why I completely stopped working is because eBay stopped supporting software developers that are pulling data. So I don't know how Shelf Trends does it. Whether or not they just basically get this information through other sources, or maybe they're just going through Terapeak themselves and basically copying the information. I don't know. I mean, you certainly can go through Terapeak and grab information and put it in a spreadsheet or put it in a database. I mean, certainly you can do that, and maybe that's what they're doing, or maybe they still have connections. Who knows? But it's a really good product. They don't have a app though. So that's the downside. But if you're a big seller or if you're really looking for some things that are kind of niche type related, items, not like men's clothes, for instance, that's not really, I mean, it is niche, I guess, just men, but you know what I'm saying? It's not like Star Wars figurines from the 1970s. I mean, so that's what I mean by niche, right? So, which is great if you can get those, but, this will kind of tell you how, help you identify those trends. I think Terapeak is a little bit less user friendly when it comes to that. So usually the way I use Terapeak, and if you relook at the video, you'll see that I try to buy things that they're cyclical. So they may sell a lot in the winter and then not much in the summer. And then I'll buy other things that are in the same space. So men's clothes, for instance, that are sell heavy in the summer, but not the winter. So, and that's how you even out your sales throughout the year. And it's worked pretty well for me, frankly. You know, I'm getting into a period right now where I don't need to sell toys anymore during the winter to kind of boost sales. And matter of fact, I'm finding selling toys is kind of annoying. I actually really don't like it anymore, largely because I don't play with them. And number two is that there are just so many people in that space, and you have to really, really know what you're doing. And you can't be a dummy and sell, vintage toys. I mean, there's so many different things to know about them. So you got to really, really know. Whereas if you buy a shirt, you pretty much know what the big brands are, and it's pretty easy. That's why everybody starts there. And so it's because I just decided to stay because I'd found it suited me, because I obviously I'm showing that I'm not that bright. But okay. So just to recap, so you're in your mobile technology, you're going to need obviously the phone we talked about, but we want SellHound in there. We want the eBay app in there. Obviously we want all the apps in there. Grailed, Mercari, Poshmark, whatever the ones you are selling on. And you're going to want to have your, Google Keep. So Google Keep is an area you can keep notes on, and it you can keep it on your laptop, and then, and it automatically goes to your phone. So, I mean, there's other products like that, Evernote and things like that. Whatever one works for you, right? It doesn't need to be Google, but Google's free. That's why I use it. But, keep all your list there. So now when you're out there sourcing, you have all the information you need right now. If you're an Amazon seller, you want the Amazon app. I really spent so little time on Amazon, so I'm not really an authority there. But you can see your ranks. I know that they use something called Keepa. So anyway, if you're an Amazon seller, if you want to send me some details, I'd be glad to go over it in another episode. But, don't listen to me if you're an Amazon seller, because I don't know anything about Amazon. I don't sell on Amazon really, or ever. So we covered your phone, and we covered your laptop or desktop situation. Now, as far as printers, I have two printers. So I have a thermal printer, a Rollo printer. Some people like, the Dymo printers. I'm more of a fan of Rollo largely because if you buy Rollo, you don't have to buy Rollo supplies, and Dymo supplies can get really expensive. Whereas you can buy generic stuff for Rollo. So I have a Rollo printer. It works really, really well. Had a little bit of problems, getting it to, sometimes reset itself. But I've gotten through that. That's fine. And then I have myself an Epson, just a regular Epson printer. So when you sell internationally, you have to provide an invoice. And now with eBay, it's automatic. It's no problem. And believe it or not, if you're selling Grailed though, you have to actually provide an invoice when you ship it out. Now you could probably get away with not doing it if you don't do that much sales on Grailed, but there will be a point when you send something to somebody and it won't be able to be shipped to them, because they'll bring it through customs and they'll say, well, where's the invoice associated with it? And if you ship through DHL, which a lot of international buyers want you to do because it's cheaper for them, that requires an invoice. So you have to be able to print an invoice. So you can't do that on a thermal printer. It's just the printer's too small. I tried it, it was kind of a joke. So anyway, so I have just a regular inkjet printer because I don't print that much on it. So I got something that's cheap. If you print a lot, you'd probably want to go with a laser printer, because it's going to be much more economical for you. Ink is expensive, but I maybe print 100 sheets a year. So I I'm not too worried about it. I'm more worried about the ink drying up than it's actually, printing, because I've run out. Okay. So that's the hardware. So the software you're going to want is to keep your books on either QuickBooks, which is the best because you can track using the app, you can track your miles. And then when you drive, you got to remember when you're driving to sourcing or when you're driving to drop the post office or a million other places you go as a reseller, you if you keep that mileage, you can write off that mileage at the end of the year. Okay. I'm not an accountant, but I feel pretty confident in saying that you can do that. So, I've done it. That's why I know. So you can keep your mileage, and believe it or not, that adds up, and it at least adds up to how much you probably your car payment is. So the nice thing is that your car payment's not a, well, in most cases is not a tax write-off, but your mileage is. So it's nice. So it's not real money in the sense that you just have to pay less in taxes, which is why you need to keep track, right? So you need QuickBooks, you need the QuickBooks app, you need to track your sales on QuickBooks, or, I don't do that, by the way. What I do is I track my sales on a spreadsheet. And then what I do is a monthly transaction, just a one transaction for my cost of goods and my sales. And the reason why I do that is because there's just too much churn. Now, some people have had some success with using GoDaddy accounting if you're just selling on eBay, because there's a direct connection between GoDaddy and eBay. And I don't know if that still works. I did that initially, but when I started adding other marketplaces, I found it to be kind of difficult to use. It's not a really great accounting system. QuickBooks is your authentic accounting system. Now, what you want to set up an appointment with a bookkeeper through QuickBooks or on your own to help set you up correctly and show you how to do your daily transactions or your weekly transactions or however you do it. And the reason why you want to do that is because it's garbage in, garbage out. You start putting stuff in that's not right, then you're going to find at the end of the year when you do your taxes, your books are going to be a mess and your account won't be able to use it. So that's why I do it the way I do it. Right. And just too many transactions to do it, per transaction. Now, not saying you can't do that. And if you're selling fewer items, but larger items that maybe bring in more money than your typical shirt does, for instance, then that's fine. Then you can do it per transaction. What I'm doing is not necessarily the right way. It's not the wrong way either. So, cause the numbers are correct. But you need some kind of accounting system. You need an inventory system as well. And you're going to keep those SKUs or, your SKUs, you're going to keep them in. If you're using List Perfectly does it. Now, the way I do it is I use a bin system. So I need bins. That's not technology, but I have to print on those bins. So I have a little barcode on each of the bins and a number on the bins. So if you go in my warehouse and I know, 1A12-5 is, it's in section one, bin A, it's item number 12 and it cost me $5. That was my cost of goods. So you want to be able to track that somehow. You might be able to track that in QuickBooks. I'm not sure, but it certainly does work on a spreadsheet. And it certainly does work in List Perfectly. So, but you need something like that. I mean, I barcode, you don't need a barcode. I have like 5,000 items in my store right now and wanting to go to 10 within the next year. So I need a barcode system. So that I, so it automates things a little bit. So when I scan something, it goes into my spreadsheet when I ship it and I scan it again, it comes out of the spreadsheet. So that works for me. Doesn't necessarily need to work that way for you, but I find it works. And to do that, you get one of those little pricing guns, guns. Mine I got on Amazon, and it's made by a company called Tao Horse, TAOHORSE. But there's a million of them. So, and I know a lot of people who sell books through Amazon, they use that to actually scan as well. It works perfectly. And of course, you need to actually then have a software that does barcoding. Now, you don't necessarily need to do this. This is what I do because I want to get really big. But if you barcode, what you're going to do is you're going to place, well, this is for me. I'm doing clothes. It's small. So I use a 2.5 gallon hefty Ziploc a bag, put the shirt or pants or whatever is in there. And then on top of that goes I write in the SKU. Don't write the -5 or -2 or whatever it costs me. I just do the 1A 12, for instance, in my last example, and then I put a barcode on it. So the barcode is 1A12 as well, because I can't read barcodes personally. So, and then when I walk around my warehouse and I click on something, I know exactly that the barcode and the number that's written on the outside are the same. And the only thing that changes is the dash and my cost of goods. And that's how I do it. All right. So there's a bit of technology in there. There's the barcode reader that I walk around with, and that's a little fob, and there's millions of them. I don't even know whose mine's made out of. It's in the car right now. So I have the Tau Horse one that I use on my desktop, that I initially scanned it in. And then when I, the little fob thing, when I just scan it out, right? So when I walk around the warehouse and I'm saying, okay, am I looking for 1A12? I can go into 1A and pull out 1A12, scan it. It automatically goes in my spreadsheet because, it's Bluetooth, so it's far enough. And then, it goes directly into my spreadsheet. Okay. So I don't really want it to work that way into a spreadsheet. It's going to work into with my software, but for today, that's what I do. And I think that really wraps it up as far as technology. There's a lot of technology, but really just because I do it this way doesn't mean you do it this way. I'm just giving you an example. Use some of this, use it all. It doesn't matter to me. Just do whatever works for you. Obviously, I'm happy to answer questions about technology anytime. Just send me an email through the website, and that getting to that website, it's oldfashionedmike.com. You can also see me on YouTube on occasion. I'm putting all the episodes on YouTube, and it's worked out pretty well. And that is it. So listen, this is a whirlwind episode. It was kind of an episode I didn't expect to have today because, my guest canceled at the last minute, but, I got a new guest next week, I believe. So thank you very much for listening, and I will see you really soon. Talk to you.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.